G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
A biblical perspective on life, culture and current events. This is 2020 on Vision.
You know, you don't have to think too widely, do you, to appreciate that we are living in an age of confusion and increasing uncertainty. This is also the case for Christians and churches, where it is important to be able to identify those firm foundations of our faith so that we can stand with confidence. Well, our special guest today says we all need more than just a Sunday service. Our guest today, Dr. Charles Ringmer, is joining us for this next hour. He's written more than 30 books, and he's renowned around the world with a global following. His new book is called A Pocket Christian Catechism, Keeping the Faith in the Challenges of the 21st Century. Well, Charles Ringmer is a honorary professor at the University of Queensland based in Brisbane. He's also emeritus professor of Regent College, Vancouver in Canada, and a former theology and research professor at the Asian Theological Seminary in the Philippines. Several of his writings have enjoyed more than five editions, with others translated into Chinese, into French, Swedish, Norwegian, Japanese, Indonesian, and Korean. And you might also know Charles Ringmer as the leader that brought the outstanding ministry of Teen Challenge to Australia more than 50 years ago. Charles Ringmer, a special welcome along to 2020.
Thank you, Neil, and good morning to you and to our listeners.
Charles, let me start with this. Church on Sunday, lots of us, this is the extent of our active Christian growth. Is that enough for us in this day and age?
I would say that it is not, and I don't think it ever has been. I think that church is important, by the way, so this is something that we need to emphasize, because increasingly there are Christians who are in a position where they feel that church is not all that relevant, and so what they're doing is basically caring for themselves, somehow trying to sustain themselves. So the first thing that I want to say is I really believe that being part of the faith community is a very, very fundamental and basic commitment to what it means to be a Christian. God is concerned about us as individuals, but God builds a people, a community, the body of Christ. So that's very important, to be part of the faith community. But I believe that we also have personal responsibility for sustaining and living and growing in our faith.
Let me ask you about formation of our faith here, because, you know, we're familiar with terms like discipleship and we want to be disciples. How do we get discipled? Oftentimes within our church, or we're partnered with someone who becomes a little bit like a mentor for us. But this thought of formation, sometimes we think of that as, oh, that's just what the leaders do, you know, when they're going to have a career as a church minister or something like that. But when we start to talk about the sorts of things you're thinking about and writing about of recent times, this formation is for every Christian.
Yes, correct. So I think that one of the things that we need to be aware of is that we can talk about formation and discipleship basically in relation to church-related ministry. And that is important. But I believe that we also need to be formed and discipled in terms of how to live our life in family, in the workplace, in the public arena, and so on. So that's a missional orientation. But at the same time, we also need to be formed in terms of spiritual practices. because we need gas in the tank, if you like, to be able to respond to the things around us and the kind of world in which we live. So what that means then, Neil, is that we need formation at a number of levels. Now, what I find interesting is that the current Lausanne movement has done several years of research in terms of global Christianity. So not just in the West, but in Africa, Latin America, and Asia. And the conclusion that they have come to out of all of that research is that the contemporary church all over the world is lacking in discipleship, formation, and a moral vision in terms of how to live well, in terms of the whole concept of wholeness and well-being, and more specifically with regard to how we as contemporary Christians need to be more prophetic in our lives and witness and service. So that's been research that has been done from the Lausanne movement. And as a consequence, I thought, well, maybe what I could do is I could make a very small contribution to this whole issue of formation. And so I came up with this idea of a pocket Christian catechism, which is something you can stick in your back pocket or in your bag or whatever. And basically what this little work seeks to do is to say to all of us, hello, you and I have some responsibility too for living the faith, growing in the faith, maintaining the faith, and so on, particularly in the kind of world in which we're living, where I think, Neil, that formation and discipleship in our churches is weak at this point in time.
Now, I don't want to spook some listeners with this word catechism. I mentioned to someone a little earlier, I'm going to having a talk today about a catechism. And it's like, oh, it's like a little bit like stand back here, because that sounds so traditional and religious. Take us into a little bit of an understanding here, Charles, because we don't want to be spooked by something which has got such a benefit for us in our faith. How do you describe that word catechism?
Yes. Okay, so first of all, I think what we need to realize is that the Bible in and of itself is a catechetical book, in that it seeks to instruct us about who God is, the nature of salvation, how we are to live, how we are to serve the world, and regarding God's final future. So the Bible is a book of not only instruction, because the issue is not simply head knowledge, information. So it's not just a matter of gaining a certain amount of knowledge, but gaining a particular vision for life in God. So the first thing that I want to say is that I see the Bible as a catechetical book, a book of instruction and formation. And what has happened in the history of the Christian church is that at various times, Christians have made creedal statements like the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed. And in the history of the church, particularly from the Reformation on, there have been important catechisms. So my background from the Netherlands is that I was part of the Dutch Reformed Church. And as a young person, we were taught basically to memorize the Heidelberg Catechism by heart. And so, in other words, basically what that meant was that that there was a fundamental formation and shaping taking place in me as a very, very young person.
And so for now, young people, Charles, young people probably despise the thought of being, in some ways, forced to learn a catechism. And, you know, you've obviously now benefited from that Heidelberg catechism, learning it, and I'm sure you can probably recite lots of it still off by heart. But children and young people, they would despise that and say, I don't want and I don't like that. But sometimes what's good for us does take a little bit of extra effort in that discipleship process, but the benefits just stay with us for our whole life. Is that the way it works if you're going to learn those things young?
Well, it's good in terms of learning it young. So basically what I'm saying, Neil, and listeners, is that I'm very, very grateful for my formation within my family and in the church that I was a part of as a very young person. However, for me, initially, it was simply a matter of head knowledge. And it was only later, in terms of a personal commitment to Christ, that that what I had learned as a younger person became very much alive for me. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I'm very grateful for what I had, but more was required. So I do understand that people can say, you know, what's the point of all this learning? You can all have it up there, but at the end of the day, what does that really do for you, and how can it possibly be effective? Now, the reason for writing this little pocket catechism is simply for me to say we do need to be able to place our feet somewhere in a world of rampant anything goes, virtually. Believe whatever you want, etc., etc. I don't have anybody tell you how to suck eggs, you know, that kind of an attitude. The whole issue of atomistic individualism and relativism and so on. So I think that has not only affected society as a whole, but it has also impacted the church. Now, Neil, the contemporary research indicates that Christians don't read their Bibles very much, except maybe the Book of Psalms or something, or when they go to a funeral or whatever, or when they hear a sermon. So the issue of teaching is important because we need to love God with our mind, our heart, our soul, and with all our strength. So it's simply making a very, very small contribution in that area that I wrote this catechism. Rather than saying to people, well, go back to read the Heidelberg Catechism or the Augsburg Catechism or the Barman Declaration or whatever, because that language, some of it is in this book. People are saying that is so old-fashioned and it's so difficult to read. I don't know what on earth they're talking about.
Helping you make sense of life, culture, and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 on Vision.
Our talkback line is open on 1-800-316-316. Our special guest is Dr. Charles Ringmar. His new book is called A Pocket Christian Catechism, Keeping the Faith in the Challenges of the 21st Century. Before we take any calls, Charles, come back to this catechism again, because just before the break I mentioned a lot of people say, well, I learned a lot of great Bible stories. And, you know, I learned about David and Goliath. I know all of those gospel stories, and Jesus taught some parables. What's the difference between understanding those stories and applying a Christian doctrinal position? Because this is more about understanding Christian teaching, isn't it, when you're talking about a catechism? How do you describe that?
Well, first of all, Neil, I believe that those stories and knowing the stories are incredibly important. And reading scripture is incredibly important, and reading the Psalms is important, and reading the Beatitudes is important. So stories are incredibly important. I don't want in any way diminish the value and the importance of that. What a catechism simply tries to do is the fact that scripture is so monumental, so diverse, so panoramic, there is so much in it That I think it's important, for example, to pull out what we might call some goalposts. Does that make sense?
It does.
Or some signposts.
And again, as we develop our conversation and talk about this, it's not just the Bible stories either, is it? Because it's the historic events in the development of what Christians think and believe, and that goes through some of the historic events of the growth of the church through all of these centuries. So there's a lot more to it than just the Bible story, isn't there?
Well, absolutely true. And I mean, we need to recognize, and I'm sure that there are Christians who are very aware of the fact that it is us in the 21st century who are reading the Bible stories. So we also come with our biases and with our baggage and so forth and so on. And I think it's very easy for us to be maybe more shaped by culture sometimes than it is to be shaped by scripture and by theology and so on. So the fact that we need signposts, the fact that we need goalposts, and also the fact that we need some sort of boundaries. So that one of the things that I really liked about Francis Schaeffer, he made the comment a long time ago that Christian truth is not a razor edge, it is a tabletop. So there's room to move, but it's also possible to fall off the table, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, wonderful.
So to have some boundaries, to have some goalposts, to have some signposts, to highlight some very, very important themes from Scripture, and that's what I've done. I've talked about the issue of salvation. I've talked about the issue of the church. I talk about the sacraments. I talk about spirituality. I talk about mission, and I talk about God's final future. So what they simply are, Neil, is that there's certain key elements that is then taken from Scripture and taken from our very, very amazing historical tradition of 2,000 years of church history. Like, it's amazing. That's an incredible wealth that unfortunately a lot of Christians don't know.
Okay, there's a and big then, wealth there.
And then summarizing some of that.
Yep. Let's take some calls. Alex is in Melbourne. Our talkback line's open, 1-800-316-316. Alex, welcome along.
Yes, thanks, Neil. Good morning. And for the guests, I forgot who it is anyway.
Charles?
Charles. Thank you, Charles. Yes, it comes back to believing that we're saved by faith, but then we have to go further than that and realize that faith without deeds is dead. So it comes back to what Charles is saying. We have to delve into the Word of God. We have to study the Word of God and not be deluded by, I hope that's the right word, by thinking, oh, I believe, so I'm saved. But there's more to it than that. Otherwise, we can be deceived.
Thoughts from you, Charles?
Well, I mean, it is certainly true that that the issue of the Christian life has to do with grace and faith. It also has to do with developing a life of prayer. We also have to grow in the Christian life and faith, and hence the importance of reading Scripture, knowing some theology, reading key books, etc., etc. And then, of course, all of that is meant for us to live both to the glory of God and to the well-being of those around us, within our family and within the church, and then seeking to be God's missional people. So I really think that in Mark's gospel, this notion of loving God with all of our mind, heart, soul, and strength, I think is a very, very good summary of what the heartbeat of the Christian life is all about.
And Charles, just while we've got Alex here, because it seems to be quite relevant to this, I'm pretty sure it's you who says, what is held in one's heart gives solid ground to one's feet. So when you starting with what you believe, that really works its way out into all that we live.
Yes. And I think it is very easy for us, for example, as contemporary Christians, to take an attitude of I'm saved, I know it all, etc., etc. Whereas I believe the real challenge that comes from Scripture and also from the Christian tradition is the whole issue of growth and Christian maturity, and then from that, the issue of Christian service and witness. So I would say that as Christians, yes, we need to learn whatever we can from our participation in the church. But I think we need to become big boys and big girls, grow up, and take more responsibility for our own Christian life and development and growth.
Alex, does that answer your thoughts there? Did you have anything quick to add?
Well, the responsibility should be based on what we learn from the Word of God. Otherwise, what sort of responsibility will there be? It'll be none. We have to learn what God teaches us.
Let's take a call. Our talkback line, 1-800-316-316. But Antoinette is in Townsville in Queensland. Hey, Antoinette, welcome along.
Thank you, and good morning, Neil and Charles.
What are your thoughts, Antoinette?
Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you for a great program. It is very insightful, and yeah, I think what Dr. Charles is doing is really important. It's great, especially for our younger generation that's coming through.
Important for not just a younger generation, but for all of us, Antoinette. Keep going. What were you asking?
Reformed. I've got a reformed background, and when we move to I just wanted to. It's a great have a pocket.
That line was not great, was it? And are you there still, Antoinette?
Yes, I am still here.
Okay, yep. So hold your phone still. It's been a little bit disrupted. But what was your question?
I just wanted to give a comment. I just wanted to say, it's a great thing.
Okay, so we've got this for young and old. Charles, young and old alike benefiting from it. What are your thoughts here for Antoinette?
Yes, I certainly believe that we're always to be on a curve of ongoing learning. So in other words, we should never ever be in a place where we think we know enough or we've arrived or whatever. And I think it's particularly important for younger people to have some ground under their feet. I believe that that if you haven't got some ground under your feet, it's almost impossible to fly. So one of the things that we want young people to do is that we do want them to be open to the world and to explore, etc., etc. But at the same time, if they have something that's a little bit foundational in their life, I think that's very, very important. That said, I think that maybe one of the questions that we need to ask is what is happening within the context of our Christian families? So increasingly, I think that Sunday schools are not that strong as they used to be many, many decades ago. So the whole issue of instruction within the life of the church may not be as strong as possibly it should be. So I wonder whether we can think about parents and grandparents, etc., taking on a greater role with regard to the task of laying some foundational values and stories and biblical ideas that can be come then as sort of a foundation for a person's life.
Okay, I want to thank Antoinette for a contribution. 1-800-316-316 if you'd like to join into our conversation. Let me ask you, Charles, just as we came out of the news there, I said you'd be baffled by the thought that there are lots and lots of denominations, and we might be able to all just rattle off, 10 if we go through our fingers and thumbs thinking of all of the denominations we can think of in Australia. But globally speaking, this is huge, isn't it? There are so many versions and flavours of Christianity. How do you see things?
Yes. So there's around about 36,000 denominations globally, but that is really not a true picture. The truer picture is that there are tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, of independent, self-standing churches. So what that means is that we're talking about a church which is not part of any denominational network, not part of any neighborhood network or whatever, but simply exists in and of itself. So really what that means is that contemporary Christianity is incredibly splintered and fragmented.
So in that fragmentation, and it's interesting to just for a moment reflect on the size of the Christian church when we think of, say, 500 million believers in continental Africa, another 500 million in South America. When we think of the huge growth of the church in China, up to over 100 million believers. And just a little fact that I came across last year, that 95% of the leaders, that's the pastors of churches that are, it's just huge around the world, they don't have any special qualifications. So it's possible, isn't it, Charles, that you might have even small groups or communities or missional outfits that have their own flavour of Christianity. And so that would be the reason why we'd need these sorts of deeper understandings that give a foundation. So something like a catechism like that.
Yes. So Neil, so you're quite right. There is incredible diversity within Christianity at this point in time, but there is also a convergence that's happening. So, for example, in this little catechism, I have got quotes from the Bauman Declaration, for example, which was a very important declaration in Germany against the Nazification of the church. I have quotes from a Catholic catechism. I have quotes from an Anabaptist or a Mennonite catechism, Reformed, etc., etc. I have quotes from the World Council of Churches. I have quotes from majority world Christianity from Asia, Africa, and Latin America. And so, yes, incredible organizational fragmentation, which is just a basic reality. But at the same time, I think that at this point in time, there's also a very, very significant convergence taking place in that there is an emphasis with regard to the importance of Scripture. There is an emphasis in terms of the importance of discipleship and formation. There is an emphasis on the importance of a prayer life and spiritual practices, and there is an emphasis with regard to our missional engagement in the world. Now, if we can then do what I would call a double whammy, encourage all of that within our respective churches, but also take responsibility for what we do in our homes and in our work networks, in our friendship networks, and in other domains of life, that we take on a posture of a kind of friendship that Aristotle talked about, which was a friendship that has to do with encouragement and empowerment and growth of the other. So if we could take that kind of posture, for example. So Neil, one of the things that we've been doing in our home here at the Grange for the last probably about 12 years, once a month, we have a theology reading group, for example. Now, that's not organized by the church. My pastor didn't ask me to do that. It's simply something that I have done, invited friends, Dave invited other friends, and that's been a very, very formative and a very, very important small group experience, which isn't really organizationally tied to the church. So I think where I'm coming from, also with this catechism, is we need to think about the gathered church on Sundays, and we need to think about the scattered people of God from Monday through to Saturday. So all of us are both, right? Or we're called to be both. So the issue is, what is it that we can do more as the scattered people of God, not just simply in terms of witness or praying, but also in terms of learning and growth and so on. So, for example, in this pocket catechism, there's the Lord's Prayer, there's the Apostles' Creed, there is a prayer from St. Francis, there is the Barmen Declaration, there is the Ten Commandments, of course. There is a hymn, Be Thou My Vision. There is Psalm 23. There are the Beatitudes. So really what I'm attempting to do is to say, the issue is not just simply head knowledge, but the issue is also, we need to continue to be inspired and motivated in terms of our Christian growth and service.
There are lots of dimensions there that are a part exactly. of the catechism. Hey, we're taking calls on 1-800-316-316. Let's take another call. Anne is in Labrador. Hey, Anne, welcome along.
Oh, I love your program. Thank you. But I want to know what I think is what I do, and that is that I have a group that is interdenominational, and we study the whole, like a gospel or a book that goes through completely in a year. So we're studying John and we're doing Revelation again. But the other things that I do is when we have Activate Group, and that group is when we study the pastor's sermon and we go and you know, find out between us, and we have that group that helps us to understand that even further more. So, but the most important thing I think is that we need to sit down with God and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what he wants as we study his word together in private as well. Because like us, our body needs food, but our soul needs the word, which is the food for our soul. So I think it's good that we have that. But I'm asking you about that catechism, that book that you've got. Wouldn't it be nice if you also put, I don't know whether you have it in the catechism, but certain situations that you go through, that you can have a reference, Bible reference to that situation so that it can help you in that situation. I don't know whether you have that in that.
Really good point to be made here, because I think what Anne's getting at is that where the rubber hits the road, when we're talking about prayers and creed statements the sacraments, engagement with the world, where the rubber hits the road, this is important. Charles, thoughts here for Anne?
Well, what I really love about what Anne is saying is that she is part of a group that has initiated something with regard to unpacking, learning together, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I think the idea of learning in community, asking the questions in terms of what does this mean for our lives, et cetera, et cetera, then praying for one another, encouraging one another. I think that's incredibly, incredibly important. And then the only thing that I would say is that we both need biblical resources. We also need spiritual resources, and we also need missional resources. And this little catechism, mind you, remember, this book is only about 90 pages, Neil. So it's a tiny little thing, but it has those emphases.
Anne in Labrador. Anne, anything further to add, Anne?
Yeah, I was just saying to him, in that book, he's got catechism in that book, does he have Bible references to a situation that you might come across, you know, that has that in there? I know that there are some, I have read a book or some books that's called Read the Bible for All Your Worth, and it says about the fact that sometimes they have references to different things, like when you're going to a different specific thing that you're going through, then you can go back to that word and help, that helps you understand it more.
Yes, Anne, fabulous. And yes, there's going to be lots of resources that are going to give that sort of rubber hits the road focus. But in a short catechism, do you include lots of biblical references in there, Charles?
So there are scripture references throughout the book. There's no doubt about that. But this particular small catechism is not a book on Christian ethics, because that's really what Anne is raising, where you wrestle with what does it mean to act and how to respond in a range of situations, and what is the biblical basis for that. That's a book on Christian ethics. The catechism is simply something that gives us basic goalposts and signposts. That's it.
Okay, Anne in Labrador, thank you so much for your call. 1-800-316-316 if you'd like to engage in our conversation today. So the value of a catechism like yours, Charles, is that you've got all of these decades of growing in wisdom, of engaging with God's word, of understanding the missional nature of the church. And so you've got a very, very big overview. And the sorts of things that you include in the catechism, when you mention, I think you said Psalm 23 is in there. So it's those priority things, like the Apostles' Creed is in there. So you've chosen, you could have chosen lots of creeds, but you've chosen the Apostles' Creed, and you've chosen to put those particular passages of Scripture. So if you're going to get a solid foundation for your Christian life, the sorts of things you've included in your catechism are things that you're saying are really important as that foundation formation for the Christian life and for our belief.
Well, that's beautifully put, Neil. That's wonderful. So basically what we could say is that this pocket catechism is a piece of toast with a little bit of butter and a little bit of Vegemite. It's absolutely basic. We want to do it in an Asian context, then it would be a fish and some rice. That's all it is. It's not a banquet. It's just very, very basic material.
And so that becomes very accessible to anyone who is even a new Christian or someone who's a mature Christian. Yes. And they're thinking, what do I use to be able to present the very basic foundations, perhaps in a discipleship context? So you've made this super simple. And the wisdom of all of those years of learning and of teaching and of understanding the global mission, this is distilled in some very simple yet profound inclusions.
Yeah, you could basically say, Neil, that this little book, so if you've got somebody in church, for example, who is interested in knowing more about Christianity, the person is simply exploring the Christian faith, you could easily give that person this book. And the language of the book is very, very simple. It's very, very down to earth. It's not too heavy theologically either. So that would be possible. It would also be possible to give this to younger persons. But I think it's also good for us when we're further down the road to constantly remind ourselves, what are some of the basics that we're committed to and need to grow into?
And there's obviously, and just, you know, you can correct me here, but the sorts of things you've included in your small book are things that you could memorize. We don't tend to memorize much these days, but if you're talking about Psalm 23, you could memorize that. If you're talking about the Apostles' Creed, you can memorize that, and that can be the sort of thing that fuels lifelong maturity in your understanding of your Christian faith.
Yeah. So head then. So you're learning things that hopefully will then impact your heart, will then impact the way you live.
Well, let's just give listeners a way to connect with you. The website for connecting with Charles Ringmar is charlesringmar.com. Charles Ringmar, spelled R-I-N-G-M-A, charlesringmar.com. The book we're talking about today is A Pocket Christian Catechism, Keeping the Faith in the Challenges of the 21st Century. So all of those other catechisms that you might be familiar with, Westminster Catechism, there's longer catechisms, there's shorter catechisms, there's the Heidelberg Catechism, there's all sorts of catechisms. Here's one for the 21st century with hand-chosen pieces in there that will have a profound impact as a foundation for your Christian faith. It's called A Pocket Christian Catechism, Keeping the Faith in the Challenges of the 21st Century. And Charles's books, he's written 30 or more, and they include poetry and reflections, meditational readers and theological texts. Charles has a global following, and you might be interested in some of the other books that Charles has written as well. But take advantage of the opportunity to connect with Charles Ringmar, and no doubt if you send a message, Charles will respond. charlesringmar.com. Charles, thank you so much for taking some time to share your thoughts and your heart with us once again today on 2020.
Thank you, Neil, and thank you, listeners.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.